another. With the name of love above all other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to be with you again on this Memorial Day weekend. We've made it to Memorial Day weekend. And what a wonderful time it is. This is kind of seen by many as the unofficial beginning of summer. But of course, those of you who are teachers or students or have students in your families, you're thinking, well, there's a couple weeks left here, but they're shortened weeks, right? Because we have Memorial Day this weekend, and as the weather is starting to begin to cooperate anyway, looking more and more summerish out there, it is a time to rejoice in summer plans, as we talked about last week. And kind of following on the heels, if any of you were just listening to Morning Air with Glenn and Archbishop Hebda, following on the heels of that is also a very important weekend in the life of our local church here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. It's ordination weekend, ordination to the priesthood, happening at the cathedral on Saturday morning. So apologies to those of you who are listening to this show on Saturday evening or Sunday morning on the rebroadcast. But for those of you who are listening live, if you'd like to come, the public is very much invited and encouraged to come, or at least support in their prayers, these 10 men who will be ordained to the priesthood tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, at 10 o'clock at the cathedral. And just a word to the wise, if you're planning on coming, come early, because parking fills up and seats fill up. But we would love to have a packed house to celebrate as these men are giving over their lives for Jesus and for his church. So let's support them in our prayers as well. And speaking of giving over lives, you know, in addition to being the unofficial start of summer, Memorial Day is about much more than that. And that's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to honor our military, specifically those who have fallen in battle in Memorial Day, which is what we are called to do. Memorial Day is, of course, an American holiday. It's observed on the last Monday of May, and it does honor the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. It was originally known as Decoration Day, and we're going to turn to some of our guests to kind of fill that out for us a little bit more to help us understand what Memorial Day is really all about. Our two guests that we're going to be talking with here in just a moment, we have Father Michael Cregan, who's the pastor of St. Joseph's Church in West St. Paul, and we have Ben Telugan, who is a faithful Catholic, although he wasn't always a faithful Catholic, and we're going to talk to him about that as well. They both serve in the military. They're both going to help us understand a little bit more about what Memorial Day is all about and how it ties in with our Catholic faith. So I think that there's going to be plenty that we can take away from this show today. But you know what? Above all, I hope it encourages us to remember in prayer those who serve and who are putting their lives in harm's way for us and for our freedoms and defending us and our right, specifically our religious freedom, to worship God as he has called us to worship him. And with that in mind, I'd just like to take just a moment to turn our attention to some Memorial Day Masses that are happening. We'll try to round back to these at the end of the show too, but there will be Memorial Day Masses at the Catholic cemeteries on Monday, May 29th. So regardless of whether you're listening live or to one of the rebroadcasts, you still have time to make these. They're all at 10 a.m., and they are all rain or shine. So they're going to be happening at Resurrection Cemetery in Minota Heights, at St. Mary's Cemetery and St. Anthony's Cemetery, both in Minneapolis, at Gethsemane Cemetery in New Hope, and at Calvary Cemetery in St. Paul, all at 10 a.m., and all rain or shine. So if it's at all possible, I encourage you to get out and to attend one of those masses at one of the Catholic cemeteries here in town. So that's what's in store for us. And as we turn now into the show, we will pause and, as always, commit this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let's pray together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Coming back here in just a moment, we're going to sit and talk a bit with Father Michael Cregan about his service in the military and about what we can do to honor those who serve. Rediscover.
In the constantly changing world of technology, LCI in the Twin Cities offers an experienced staff and knowledge to service and maintain the current technology at your company. LCI also provides this message in support of Catholic ministries in our area.
Catholic schools within the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis form students to live out the gospel message, achieve academic excellence, and lead by faith, virtue, and reason. There are nearly 90 Catholic schools within the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, including elementary and high schools, located from Forest Lake in the north to Faribault in the south to Maple Lake in the west to the Wisconsin border in the east. Find a Catholic school near you or call 651-291-4500.
LCI supports local Catholic ministries, including Relevant Radio. Large and small business owners find a cost-effective IT solution by calling LCI 763-425-7567 or lci-online.com.
Back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you here on Relevant Radio as we are talking about Memorial Day. And joining me in studio now is Father Michael Cregan, who was born in Japan and grew up in Hudson, Wisconsin. I knew I liked him from the moment I met him. He's a fellow Wisconsinite. He's a graduate of the University of St. Thomas in 1993, the St. Paul Seminary in 1997, and he and chaplain basic officer leadership course at Fort Jackson in South Carolina in 2014. He was ordained a priest in 1997. He served at various parishes around the archdiocese as both an associate, as a parochial vicar, and as a pastor, as also an adjunct spiritual director for our St. John Vianney Minor Seminarians. He's a member of the Knights of Columbus, Knight of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre, and now he serves not only at St. Joseph's in Wednesday, St. Paul, but he is also in the Army National Guard as the chaplain for the 334th Brigade Engineering Battalion, that's BEB, with headquarters in Stillwater. Welcome to the program, Father. I've got even more stuff that I could talk about here that in your bio. Did I miss anything important?
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here today.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you here. And let me just start with the very first. You were born in Japan. How did that come about?
I was. My dad was serving in the United States Air Force.
Okay.
So my family lived in Japan for 4 years, and I actually came along at the tail end. So I was only there for about a year.
Okay. All right. So yeah, you were right at the tail end there. And you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, just one brother. So just my family that was over there. And it was, okay, I think it was a challenging time in those days because people didn't travel like they do today. So my mom and dad didn't see their parents for 4 years.
Wow.
They didn't come back on trips to the U.S. and most of the time was communicating through letters. Once in a while, there'd be a phone call, which is very expensive, to announce something like a birth.
So, right.
So I think of their sacrifices with that as well.
So your birth merited a phone call.
That did. A brief one.
A brief one. Okay. So. Very good. Very good. Wow. Okay. So, and then you serve both as a priest, but you also serve in the military. Thank you for service in both areas. But it was relatively recently that you were commissioned in the Army National Guard. So that was in 2013. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how did your desire to serve in the military come about? You said your dad was in the Air Force, but how did you figure out that you wanted to serve?
Oh, thank you. Good question. I've always, of course, had a great respect for the military because my family, but I didn't think about it for myself. And I'm certainly, St. Joseph's is a fantastic parish. We're about 1,900 families. It's a very active parish. You know, we oftentimes have great crowds at daily mass. We've got two daily masses, great school. So the last thing I needed was an extra thing to do.
Right.
And it was in probably 2012, I think it was, Chaplain John Morris, who at the time was the state chaplain for the Minnesota Army National Guard, and he's a full bird colonel. I had some contact meeting him at one point, but he said, "Would you go for lunch?" And I said, "Sure." I'll go have lunch. That's a great thing. And he said to me, he said, Father, we really need Catholic priests. And I said, no, I can't do that. I'm too busy.
Okay.
And about a month later, he asked me for a second lunch. So, okay, I thought I'll go to the second lunch. This time he actually had my last name embroidered on the little tab that used for the Army combat uniform. And he gave that to me. I thought, well, nice try. But yeah. I just said, I'm just really, really busy. And then there was a third meeting. And I still remember we were actually at the Cherokee, not far from St. Joseph's.
Yeah.
I can still remember the booth we're sitting in, and I was preparing kind of my no answer for him again, and I thought this would be it. And he looked at me, and he said, you have something that others don't have. And I paused for a moment, because I thought, well, here is a gentleman who's a Methodist minister, so I have to think of my response in ecumenical terms. I thought, what is he talking about?
Right.
I thought, I had hospital chaplaincy training. I thought, what does he mean? And that's when Chaplain Morris looked me squarely in the eye and he said, you can forgive sins.
Oh.
I thought, what a way to get
wow.
the Catholic priest.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was the beginning. Of course, it was a period of discernment with my spiritual director and then the archbishop, and then pretty soon my hand went up. So.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So what's the process once flesh that out a little bit for us in terms of once you came to the decision that, yes, this is something I want to pursue. But you're already a priest at this point, and so you're already beholden to your vows of obedience here, to the bishop here, and that sort of thing. Sure. So how do you appeal to the bishop to serve as a chaplain?
Right. It's really a discernment process in two parts. Obviously, okay. The Army has their discernment process and preparation, but certainly within the diocese we do as well. And that's why I worked it through my spiritual director first, and then he encouraged me to write to the archbishop. And then the archbishop took some time, and I think he probably spoke to some of the advisors and discern that this is a good thing, that we could make it work. And it's actually been remarkable because it's actually worked largely because of the support of the people of St. Joseph's and certainly the support of the Minnesota Army National Guard. They've been able to make this work, and it's been a great blessing.
Great.
It was like I added about 700 more parishioners, so that was a good thing. So.
Yeah, that looks good on the books anyway, so. Right? Yeah, very good. So you were fairly recently deployed to Kosovo. And can you tell us some about that experience?
I was asked to go to Kosovo in 2015.
Yeah.
And I was actually serving Army National Guard folks who were from North Carolina and West Virginia.
Okay.
But they didn't have a Catholic priest. They had a Protestant minister. And because of the numbers of Catholics, they like to provide for our faith background. So I was approached and, again, spoke with the diocese. And they said, yeah, this seems like we can make this work. And we were able to make it work from the parish. And I was part of the NATO peacekeeping force that's in Kosovo. And really, it's really one of the great success stories, I'd say, of some of our military work. Kosovo, as you might remember from history, had some terrible strife between the Albanians and Serbians that we remember seeing in the late 1990s. And the NATO forces came in and are able to sustain peace. And it's a beautiful example of cooperation. When I arrived, I wasn't ready for the international group that I would be serving. I, of course, was ready for the soldiers from North Carolina and
right.
West Virginia. And when I arrived, I remember I sat down with Colonel Simpson. He was a fantastic commander to work for. And he looked at me and said, remember, Father, you're not just the chaplain for the Catholics. You're not just the chaplain for the Americans. You're the chaplain for, the force here.
Yeah.
And actually, our force there, it was 30 different NATO nations and partners.
Wow.
So I was sort of the English-speaking Catholic priest. We had priests who also spoke Italian, Slovenian, Polish, German. I think I got all the groups here. Wow. And of course, they would take care of the different groups, but I would take care of either the English-speaking Catholics for that part, but then I would also reach out, too, to the other soldiers and making sure that their religious needs were met. And for my base where I lived, there were soldiers from Armenia, Turkey, Luxembourg. So we had a whole variety of countries.
Yeah, and a variety of faiths.
And variety of faiths as well to make sure that they were having their needs met. So it was a fantastic opportunity.
Wow. Yeah, I guess so. Not just ecumenical in terms of Christianity, but also other faiths that are there, and you're seeking to look after them all.
Well, it was a great time to learn. Sometimes I would, spend time visiting with some of my, the fellow soldiers over, breakfast or something, or maybe playing ping pong in the evening when things are quiet. And it was a great time to ask questions about the other countries or the other faiths, and they were able to do the same with me. And there's a great camaraderie, so we felt very comfortable having those conversations. It was a great, great blessing.
That's wonderful. Wow. Wow. And you came back safe and sound?
I did. Thanks I did. It's a, like I said, it's a very successful mission. And Kosovo, thankfully, is enjoying a peace, really, at this time. It's a great thing.
Right. Wonderful. Well, thanks be to God for all of that. Let's, because Memorial Day is just around the corner here, let's turn our attention to Memorial Day. Now, Can you give us a little bit more of the history? I mentioned it being Decoration Day and it being a time when we honor specifically those who have fallen in military service. So can you tell us a little bit more about the history of Memorial Day and where it comes from?
Yeah, you summarized it beautifully there. I think sometimes we associate Memorial Day with opening up the cabin or cleaning the garage or getting whatever the different sales are offering, and that's sort of what's happened. But
you remember to put the dock in the lake. That's what you're remembering on Memorial Day.
But you really mentioned the origins. In fact, you used one of the terms when you called it Decoration Day, which was one of the original terms. And Memorial Day is really simply a day for us to remember specifically those who have fallen in the service of the United States.
Right.
It's a little bit different than Veterans Day. Veterans Day, which comes up in November, honors all veterans, living and deceased. But Memorial Day is very specifically for those who have fallen in service.
Right.
And it's a beautiful day, of course, for us to remember to reach out, you know, to pray for them, to visit cemeteries. And originally, I think there's a little bit of a dispute of exactly where it began in our country.
Okay.
You can go to different historical documents, I guess. One thing I did find a little while ago is in 1868, it was General John Logan. He was the national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, and he was the one who designated, as you said, this Decoration Day, and as they said, it was the purpose of strewing flowers or other decorations literally on the graves of the comrades who had fallen in battle. In this specific case, it was after the Civil War, and we've continued this since that time.
Right. Well, you mentioned the flowers and strewing those, so we oftentimes think of the poppies around this time of year. Is that more with Veterans Day?
You're right, and actually the poppy, the red poppy that sometimes you see people wearing in a lapel in the United States, and you also see it in Great Britain and France, that actually came about as a result of some of the efforts of folks during the First World War.
Okay.
There was a poet, and I believe her name is Moina Michael, if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. And she was inspired in 1915 by the poem Flanders Fields. And I think the little piece I found that she had written, where she wrote, "We cherish too the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies the blood of heroes never dies." And she's the one who really brought about this idea of wearing the red poppy on Memorial Day to honor those who had died while serving our nation. And then it was another French person, I'm forgetting her name at the moment now, who actually learned about that on a visit to the United States, and she brought that custom back to France, and now you've seen it through Great Britain. A lot of times it's the organization here, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, who will actually distribute the poppies, and they'll, you know, use it to raise funds for disabled American veterans. And in Europe, they use it to help, you know, at the time it was the orphans and other works like that. So it's a beautiful way for us to really remember those who have fallen.
Yeah, it's a great tradition, and even when I see them around, you know, it draws my mind and my heart into that remembrance, that spirit of remembrance and thankfulness, of gratitude for those who have given their lives in that way to serve again our country and indeed our God. Now, of course, as you've already mentioned, Father, there are many faiths who sign up for military service and who are part of the military service today. And with the historical piece that you just gave us, I think a lot of times when I think of Memorial Day, I'm thinking back to those who have given their lives. My grandfather served in World War I. My uncle served in World War II. My dad served at the end of the Korean War. And so I'm thinking, you know, decades ago. But what I sometimes forget is that we're still losing soldiers today in battle, and I believe you said you had an idea of how many have fallen since 9/11.
We do. You know, you're very right that we certainly honor those from all wars.
Right.
All that, you can even think back to the Revolutionary War and all the different wars and conflicts. Remember World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and certainly pray for those folks. And as you said, we've had certainly, you know, different wars that we've been involved in, and especially some that have reminded us, of course, of the sacrifice and loss very recently. In fact, on the Minnesota National Guard website, there's a very poignant memorial to 18 Minnesota National Guard soldiers who have died since September 11th, most of them in Iraq, some in Afghanistan. And even in our local church, we've come to know this in a very real way, a very sad loss of Father Timothy Vakich. He was actually one of the priests of our archdiocese. He was serving on active duty with the United States Army, And he was injured in a roadside bomb that happened in Iraq, and he was returned here to Minnesota and later died from those injuries. And certainly we pray for all those who have fallen and pray for their families too, because there's certainly great loss and suffering from the families who remain too. So that's a really a part of the Memorial Day we want to remember as we approach Monday.
Right, right. Well, so you've already given us some good fodder for some of the things that we can do as we get into Memorial Day, and some of the practices that we as faithful Catholics can engage in and that sort of thing. Any other suggestions for things specifically that would be good for us to do as we remember the fallen on Memorial Day?
Sure. I think that's the main thing is if we can just pause, you know, so in the midst of, you know, it's great for us to get the families together, and it's very good for us to have that, you know, the picnics and the other things that happen, that's very good. But if we can just pause for a little bit of time, whether it's to pray as a family, to remember, to stop by a cemetery, maybe even to partake in some of the special masses. You mentioned, of course, the masses happening in our Catholic cemeteries. There'll be services at Fort Snelling National Cemetery here in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. I believe also our Fort Ripley, the state cemetery from Minnesota, just a couple of hours north of here. There's a great thing I noticed on the Relevant Radio website written by Lindsay Kettner. Hopefully I have her name right there. And she wrote a fantastic little piece on ways to observe Memorial Day.
Right.
You know, the simple things of attending Mass. Most parishes will have Mass to pray for the dead. Attending, as I said, one of the services of remembrance. Even just, you know, seeking out the graves of the veterans in your local cemetery.
Yeah.
There's probably some area where the veterans, and oftentimes they may even have the very specific looking kind of marble tombstones, you know, typical that you'll be able to find, so they'll stand out, or they may be marked by flags. It's a day, too, to remember, certainly as we pray for the dead, remember the Gold Star families. There's an organization called the Gold Star Families that is made up of spouses and children of those who've lost loved ones in the service of our nation. So I think that's really the key of Memorial Day, is just to, you know, the reason why we have the day off, you know, from work and other activities, is to really just have us pause and really pray in gratitude for those who've given their lives for freedom, but also too to remember those who are left, the widows, the orphans, the families, and to really reach out to them. And it can be a great day for us too to reach out, you know, to volunteer in different ways. I think Lindsay mentioned that on her website about volunteering with different maybe disabled veterans organizations or reaching out in some way. So just a few ideas.
Right. So one of the things that I think is impressive to me about Memorial Day is that it brings to mind that these men and women who gave their lives in service to the country are standing for principles that we can, as Catholics, we can also definitely uphold, and we want to forward in our society today. We want to maintain, and I think the volunteering piece that you mentioned right at the end there, that's something that helps us remember that as we can, in a sense, fight as well, but fight in, you know, in our own society for the endurance of these principles and for their propagation throughout. Things like the dignity of all human life, the freedoms that we understand that God has given us. Our free exercise of religion, as I already mentioned, free will, the free will that we've been given to choose for the good, the true, and the beautiful, and things like that. And so it seems to me that it ties in well with Memorial Day when we remember those who have given their lives and in service to our country again, and in service to these freedoms and upholding these freedoms. Challenges us to do the same, doesn't it? I mean, not to be too elaborate about it, but even just thinking ahead to the ordination that's happening tomorrow, that these men are giving their lives in service to that as well. There's got to be some kind of a connection there. And now you sit here as both a priest and a soldier. And am I hitting on something here? Is there something that's true about that? As you see both of those elements in your own life.
Sure, and I'm certainly very much very much impressed and edified by the sacrifices that I see in the soldiers that I work with now. You know, and some of the folks that I work with now in the Brigadier Engineering Battalion, some of them have been in the Guard for some time. They've served in different wars and different times. I think of my own confrere, Father Jerome Fain. He's actually the other. There's only two chaplains for the Minnesota Army Guard right now that are Catholic.
Wow.
Myself and, of course, Father Jerome Fain. And Father Fain has been in for almost 20 years, and he's been deployed to, I think, Afghanistan. He was at the long deployment in Iraq, which went on for quite a while. He was in Kuwait. I think he was in Bosnia. Great amount of service, but I think about the sacrifice of some of those confreres that I work with, people who are willing to leave sometimes family behind and other, you know, work and things like that, so that we can have that that gift of freedom that we enjoy here in our country.
Yeah, yeah. So just coming back to your service for just a moment, Father, give us an idea of what does it look like in terms of, I mean, I'm guessing it's not always a kind of a typical, for instance, when the soldiers go to Mass, that it's not necessarily typical in terms of the setting. You know, I'm used to going to parishes around here, like St. Joseph's. I'm guessing sure. It looks a little different in, say, Kosovo.
Sure. And maybe if I back up a little bit, the part of the chaplain is to do two things. We provide religious support.
Yeah.
So for me, it actually, you know, I can actually, you know, provide Catholic Mass, and that's one of the great blessings that I have is celebrating Mass, hearing confessions, doing the things that are associated with our Catholic faith. I also provide religious support for all the soldiers in my battalion. That means that if they are soldiers of other faiths and I have to seek out the support for them, so I might be calling one of my, let's say, Protestant confreres, you know, that we may work with and have a Protestant service, or maybe it's soldiers of different faiths getting some sort of religious support for them. So it's the providing religious support.
Mm-hmm.
There's a second part to that. That's also advising, and it's advising the commander.
Oh, okay.
And this is a part folks may not always realize as a part of my duty as a chaplain in the Army. As part of the advising is that if we're in a tactical situation, for example, I'll hold a role in advising the commander on, you know, kind of the impact of religion. So maybe it's going to be understanding local cultures, customs, and things like that. Sometimes the chaplains are even used to reach out to local religious leaders.
Really?
This happened a lot in Kosovo. I think I went on about four different missions that I was asked to assist with, where I was brought with a group of soldiers and reached out to the local imam. Kosovo is actually 90% Muslim.
Mm.
And sometimes I think it helps to have kind of a fellow chaplain or minister to make that first contact. In fact, I was asked to speak at a Muslim high school, which is called a madrasa.
Yeah.
And then later on, I actually spoke at an Islamic college in Pristina. And that was
really?
It was interesting. That was on Kosovo television, dubbed in Albanian. So I saw that later on. But it was on the topic of religious tolerance. And it was a beautiful experience. But sometimes the chaplain would be used as that. On your specific question, the location of the Mass, you're right, is sometimes the location of the Mass will not always be a chapel. In fact, rarely do I have Mass in a chapel. This last weekend, I did have Mass at Camp Ripley. We had our drill weekend, and we did use the chapel, which is okay. It was a nice thing. A lot of times, Mass will be where the soldiers are, because mm-hmm. we travel, the chaplains in the Army Yard, we travel wherever the soldiers are. I know last summer, I was at the National Training Center in Fort Irwin. It's this huge training area that's, I think they said, the size of Rhode Island. We were there in June. It was a little on the hot side, I think 115.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, I was brought around to some groups to celebrate Mass, and one Mass was celebrated just on the edge of a tank. You know, I have a small Mass kit that is actually government issue. And by the way, it's the smallest Mass kit I've ever had, even better
wow.
than some of the civilian ones I could find. It's a fantastic little thing, but
wow.
But it's great, so I can go to wherever the soldiers are. So I've been, a lot of times it'll be kind of the corner of the supply room or wherever I end up being, and that's where the soldiers were gathered, and that's a great blessing.
Wow, wow. Well, let me say once more, Father, thank you so much for your service, both, again, as a priest and in the National
thank
Guard.
Well, thank you. Thank
yeah,
you very much.
Yeah. Can you stick around with us?
I can. I would be honored to
excellent,
do that.
Excellent. So you stick around with us. As we go into our next break, we're going to come back with Ben Telugan, who has served as well, and we're going to hear from him and his experience on being a Catholic in the military. Stay with us. Rediscover.
If your tires aren't working as hard as you are, they're not working hard enough. Now through July 15th, when you buy an eligible set of four Firestone tires, you can receive a $70 Visa prepaid card by mail. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. Offer valid through July 15th. Prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Card expires. See store for details. Westside Tire has Firestone tires and this Visa prepaid offer available today, just west of the Metro in Corcoran.
This season, we all drive a little more, and you can count on the champions of service at Westside Tire in Corcoran. Westside Tire has tires and brakes for your car, truck, SUV, and crossover. Come to Westside Tire for safe driving all summer long. Tires for every vehicle are available today at Westside Tire, just west of 494 off Highway 55 in Corcoran. Call 763-420-2100. Westside Tire. They'll take care of you.
Say, take this bread, take this wine, bow the simple made divine, for any to receive. By your mercy we come to your table.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. We're talking about Memorial Day, as it is Memorial Day weekend. We're just speaking with Father Cregan, the pastor of St. Joe's in West St. Paul. And now we turn to Ben Tlugin, who's a former sergeant in the United States Army Reserve. In his 6 years in the Army, Ben trained with the Special Warfare Training Group, Airborne, and spent time at the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California. He did one tour in Afghanistan, where he managed the local Afghani personnel working for U.S. military forces. He was involved in mission planning and assignments, and had a hand in writing local Afghani legislation, went on numerous missions, and earned his combat action badge along with other awards. Wow. And Ben is now, he's the new director of discipleship for youth, college age, young adults, and men at St. Hubert's Catholic Community in Chanhassen. So, Ben, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. And you were correcting me over the break there that I'm supposed to ask you about being a Catholic in the military, and you say I was never a Catholic in the military. That's right. As I said at the top of the show, you weren't raised Catholic, I should say.
No, as you'd mentioned, I became Catholic a few years back here. I was actually raised Baptist.
Yeah.
And came into the Catholic Church in 2015. Was married 2 weeks later, and then started at the seminary that following fall. So it was a very busy 2015 for me.
It sounds like it.
But yeah, so I actually gained my undergraduate degree in ministry from Northwestern College and was planning on being in ministry on the Protestant side. And then,
Northwestern here in St. Paul.
Right up in Roseville there off Snelling. And yeah, I met the woman that is now my wife, and she was a little tougher nut to crack than some previous Catholics I had encountered. And so I started to delve into the Catholic faith a little bit more. I told her to select a priest, and I would go debate this priest because she didn't want to debate me. And so she selected Father Duffner up at Epiphany.
Father Duffner.
And I had my hands full with that one.
Yeah.
So I came out of my first debate with Father Duffner and thought, okay, I need to study this a little bit more and get a little more background on who I am going up against here,
right,
and what his faith is. And so I started delving into it, and it was 6 months to a year of studying that and struggling with these things that I had previously been very staunchly in opposition to.
Yeah.
And was finding there's truth in this.
Yeah.
And this has got biblical backing. And so it was not an easy transition by any stretch of the imagination, but eventually God won, which, you know, he does.
Always does.
So it's just a matter of how long we think we can hold out,
right,
I guess.
Right, yeah. Yeah, very good. Wow. Well, thank you for that. It's good to hear your own conversion story. We're always open to those here on the show. And that was relatively succinct too. I like that. And I'm sure we could have spent the last half of the hour talking about that. So let's turn a little bit to your own service in the military. Same question I asked Father Cregan. How did you decide you wanted to serve?
I grew up loving military things,
okay,
loving military history. In high school, I studied the Civil War so in such depth that I like to joke that I could probably have outcommanded any Civil War general because I'd studied everything they did.
Wow.
So I absolutely loved that time period, especially, and grew up running around in the woods. You know, I grew up hunting around firearms. And so it was just something that I'd always felt it was something that was a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was never really willing to make the sacrifices necessary to do it myself.
Mm.
I had actually looked at joining once before and ended up not going that route. And then in 2007... as a 27-year-old, I decided, all right, this is what where God is leading me, and went in and talked to a recruiter and found the job that I thought was the right one for me. And
yeah.
they dangled this thing called special operations in front of me, and I was hooked.
Yeah, so. You were hooked. Wow, wow. Well, thank you for your service as well, Ben. Appreciate that. But you went into the military and in your deployment as a Protestant, as a Baptist.
I did.
As a faithful Christian. So, mm-hmm. How did your experience in the military did it affect your faith journey at all? And if so, how?
It's gonna affect your faith journey when you're in a situation like that.
I would imagine so. Yeah.
It, you know, the decisions that you have to make, the surroundings that you're in. Even now when I get around a bunch of military guys or ex-military guys, I'll come home and my wife will point out my language has taken a drastic dive,
yeah,
and I'll have to make some corrections, to the words that I'm using. So, I mean, things just kind of slide in and, aspects of things change. I was blessed. We had a chaplain. We were on a very small FOB or forward operating base, in Meterlam, which is in the Logman province of Afghanistan. But we were blessed enough to have a chaplain that was assigned to us.
Yeah.
Now, he traveled out and went to other bases as well, but we had some sort of a church service just about every Sunday morning,
yeah.
Which was good. Now, had I been Catholic, as one of my friends there was, it is a little bit more difficult. I think he saw a Catholic priest twice in the year that we were there.
Wow.
So it is a very different story. With Protestants, there's more give, I guess, with being able to attend other things and do other things. But as Father mentioned, he can do something that others can't.
Yeah.
And that's not just forgive sins, but provide the Eucharist.
Right.
Which is not something that you have easy access to over there.
Yeah.
So we could definitely use more chaplains, more people like Father who can step up and take that service to our troops wherever they're at.
Right, right. It just occurs to me too, as you're there, and I'm picturing in my head what some of these Sunday church services look like. And I'm guessing you're kind of shoulder to shoulder with all different types of Christians, mm-hmm. and those types of things.
Even just some people who are bored.
Well, yeah, and that's what I wanted to get on, actually, the saying goes that there are no atheists in foxholes and that sort of thing. So do you think in some way that being in a situation where you're deployed, where there's imminent danger, where there's a lot of unfamiliarity, does that provide kind of a very good seedbed for things like evangelism and sharing the good news of Jesus, or is it more contained than that, and it's not such a good place?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I guess it depends on who you're talking about. Some soldiers, their way to deal with it is to, you know, harden up and not let other things in, not let emotion come in and be a part of what's going on. And that's how they deal with any fear or anything that's happening while they're there. Others, they are much more open. And I was blessed to have an opportunity to minister to some people over there while we were there. And
were you?
Some yeah. that were going, you know, these stories of wives that were back home not being faithful to their husbands who are deployed, and the struggles that they're going through. And so, you know, as much as you don't like these situations, and it'd be nice if they didn't happen, it was still a blessing to be able to be in that situation and have the background that I had,
right.
And have these guys know that was my background. And so they came and knocked on my door and said, this is what's happening, and I need to talk to somebody about it. And so I was able to sit down with them and have those conversations, which was good.
Yeah, absolutely. So thinking about that too, when people come back, when soldiers come back from deployment, when they when they're discharged, that sort of thing, what do we need? As I said earlier, I've had family members who served in the military, but I myself have not. So what do people who don't have anything but an outsider's perspective when it comes to military service, what do we need to know in terms of, say, veterans who are coming back, and how can we support them?
Well, I guess there's two different aspects of coming back. If you can, you can say you're coming back from a deployment, which is one thing, or you could say you're coming out of the military and entering the civilian life, or maybe both simultaneously. For those that are coming back from deployment, I think obviously prayer for our military members across the board. But I think just patience is a big thing, because there's coming back, they tell you all about PTSD and all these other things. And when I came back, I didn't really have PTSD. I didn't deal with those things, but there was other things that weren't working the same way they had before I'd left. And I wasn't remembering things that I used to remember, and I was more absent-minded, and there was places I'd been to 100 times and couldn't remember how to get there all of a sudden. And talked to another friend who had done multiple deployments, and he said, yeah, that's normal. It's happened to me. And he said, you know, basically they attribute it to the idea that you've been on alert for so long that your brain now decides, well, I don't have to be on alert anymore, so I'm just not.
Pulls the plug on some of the other things.
You kind of just give them time to adjust. And there's been studies done that have talked about they didn't see as much of this after World War One and World War Two, because it was a longer transition. When you were coming back from Europe or from the Pacific, you were on a ship and you had days, weeks to make this trip home. And you kind of got a little bit of adjustment on your travel, where now you hop a plane and you're back a few days later. And all of a sudden you're not in the world that you've been living in for the last year or so. And so it's a rather big adjustment. So just patience, understanding that they'll come back around. It's just going to take a while for them to settle into the environment that they're in now.
Sure. Patience, understanding, prayer. Father, I'll pitch the same question to you and bring you back into the conversation too. Would you have any further recommendations for how we can support and honor those who are serving and maybe either coming back from deployment or, as Ben pointed out, are taking their discharge from the military?
Sure. I think Ben brought some great things and a wonderful insight too on the patience and the really walking with folks. And I think that's where, you know, our different parishes and faith communities can be such an important assistance, certainly reaching out to the soldiers who are returning, but also really reaching out to support the families as well. Because that time of transition can be very difficult. As you said very well, that maybe if one spouse has been gone and the family's running in a certain way, and suddenly it's difficult to insert back in to that. So, but certainly, that's the wonderful gifts that we have, especially with our Catholic faith, through the wonderful gifts of healing, through the sacraments, through our prayer. We've got, of course, the gift of Eucharistic adoration and so many great devotions that really help, I think, with that transition and really helping to bring that peace. So wonderful insight.
Yeah, very good. Wow, thank you for that. Ben, let me turn back to you and ask this. So how does patriotism, how does that play into our Catholic faith? Because, you know, I think that there's sometimes, and sometimes the waters can be a little muddy, you know, because we're not to put our country above God. Obviously, God is always to be first. But at the same time, it's pretty clear in the teachings of the Church and the Catechism as well that patriotism is not a bad thing. But I'm guessing that's under a particular light that is influenced by our Catholic faith. But how would you say patriotism and our Catholic faith tie into one another?
Yeah, don't ask any hard questions. it's just speaking for the U.S. in particular. I think we have been so very blessed in this nation with the freedom to practice our faith, whatever that faith may be. And so the patriotism and faith tie-in to me is just that ability to continue doing that. Without some of these conflicts, without fighting for the freedom to be able to do that, we wouldn't necessarily be able to be practicing our faith. We wouldn't be able to be openly having a parish that everyone knows where it is and they can go there and they can walk through the doors. We may be like they are in some parts of the world where you're celebrating Mass, or even whether it's Catholic or not, you're doing it underground. You're doing it in someone's basement and hoping that no one finds out. You can't be open about what you believe, otherwise someone's going to imprison you or kill you. So that I think is where the patriotism, at least in the United States, really ties in, is that we have that freedom, and so not taking that for granted,
yeah,
and loving this country that God has blessed us with, that allows us to have the ability to practice our faith.
Right. So what I'm hearing you say, and I fully agree, if this is what you're saying, is that there's a direct tie between kind of a godly patriotism, the right kind of patriotism, and gratitude to God for what He has given us in our country. Father, how about you? We'll go back to you for this too. How does patriotism and our Catholic faith, how do they interact?
I think certainly we've seen through the ages that, you know, that we're always called to be good citizens,
yeah,
you know, to participate, you know, in the common good of the local community and our nation. And certainly there's a call, I think, through our faith to really stand up, to speak out for freedom. That's why Catholics are never meant to be, you know, quiet or just kind of hidden somewhere, but we're called to really be participating in the public square for what is good.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that isn't there too the understanding that what is good is not defined by our country, so we can recognize that our country can do, in the midst of doing some very good things, it can also do some evil things,
right,
as well.
Sometimes if there's something that's not good, we have a duty and obligation to speak up. You know,
yeah,
we can think of certainly speaking up for life, for other, yeah, you know, for social justice, other different areas that we need to speak for.
Right, right. And so, again, God first, right. Yeah. So, Ben, let's go back to you to talk a little bit more about Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. Already asked Father, but do you have any suggestions for how we can observe and honor and celebrate Memorial Day?
Yeah, well, obviously going to Mass is a great way. Going to one of the services at one of the cemeteries is an excellent way to recognize that. My wife and I have done for the last number of years is we actually volunteer over at Historic Fort Snelling.
Oh.
And they do a living timeline that they have over there. I think it opens at 10 and runs until 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And you can come over there and learn more about our military history. They have people there representing our military from the Revolution all the way through today.
Wow.
And I go, a buddy of mine and I go and represent modern military. And
okay,
then my wife and a number of her friends are World War II reenactors. So
oh,
they
wow.
do, they go over and represent World War II. But it just gives you an opportunity to kind of learn more about what life would have been like for these veterans, for these men who sacrificed their lives for the freedoms that we have, and kind of understand what it is that they went through and what other sacrifices they've made.
That's fascinating. So just let me get the details on that again. This is a living military timeline at Historic Fort Snelling on Monday, on Memorial Day.
Yep.
Yep. From 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.? Is that what
you
said?
It's 3 or 4. I forget what time they shut it down. But and during that day, they do a number of things. They have some demos from different firearms throughout the years, and they fire off the cannon, which is always a big a big crowd pleaser. They
I'll
do that
bet.
A couple times throughout
yeah.
the day as well. So it's a lot of fun. It's a good family experience. The kids always seem to be really enjoying themselves. And as I said, they're learning something too. So it's a good way to spend an hour or two of your Memorial Day, just kind of looking back at what is it that these men and women have gone through throughout the years.
Yeah, and they can come and meet you and your wife too, right there.
So that sure
added bonus, right? Right. Tell us a little bit more, Ben, about how you ministered to the special needs of your brothers and sisters, either in country and how they you nourished your relationship with God. So when you're deployed, you mentioned a little bit about that, but how did you nourish your relationship with God, with Christ specifically when you were overseas?
Well, after being there for a few months, I could tell that I was struggling and that I needed a little more support network going while I was over there. And so I talked to another one of the sergeants that was over there from another unit stationed on our same FOB, and he was feeling the same way. And so we thought, okay, well, let's start a Bible study of sorts.
Okay.
And so we did some research, and he had found that we could get a number of copies of the book Wild at Heart. The publisher was willing to just send them to us with the workbooks. And so we put that together and we put up some flyers around the base and said we're going to start doing this. And I believe it was Tuesday evenings we would get together and every week we'd read a chapter of the book, and then we'd get together and we'd discuss it and just kind of talk about our faith and kind of how it was being affected. And we'd intended it for guys. We hadn't, I guess, didn't clarify that well enough in our flyer, because we did have one female soldier that was stationed there that decided she wanted to come.
God bless
but we thought,
her.
You know,
wow,
she needs the support too. Who are we to turn her away? And so it was also interesting to get a female perspective on some of what was being said in that book. But excellent book about just men and kind of how we're wired. And one of the things, it was actually while I was there doing that, that I first got the call to men's ministry. We were discussing the fact that every man has this question in his heart, do I have what it takes? And we were kind of laughing about it because we were in the middle of a war zone. You know, some had been shot at previously that day.
Wow.
And so it's like, okay, so do we have what it takes? All right, yeah, I think we can move on from this. But it really sank into me that there's a lot of guys back home that don't get that question answered. And how can we kind of fill that need for these men that aren't going to go to war? And now that I've been home for quite some time, that question still creeps into my head, is do I still have what it takes?
Yeah.
Could I do it again?
Yeah.
And so even if you get the question answered, it's not necessarily permanently answered. And so, you know, how do we fill that need in our culture and in our church?
Right. So. I think that's an excellent point, that Memorial Day can be something that encourages and inspires us as well. Ben Telugin, Father Michael Cregan, thank you both for being on the show this morning. It's been great having you here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Amen. All right. We are going to go into our last break and then come back with some community events, things that are happening around the Archdiocese just after this. Stay with us.
Rediscover.
Deer Run Golf Club would like to invite Relevant Radio listeners to enjoy a round of golf this season. Deer Run Golf Club is in amazing shape again this year, and their goal is to always make you feel welcome so you can enjoy your day with family and friends. People often say it's more fun at the run. You can make tee times far in advance by visiting deerrungolf.com. They offer senior rates and special family rates on weekends. Not only has Deer Run won many awards for their design, but also for their hospitality. They're just a few minutes south of Lake Minnetonka in beautiful Victoria, Minnesota. Deer Run Golf Club will go out of their way to make you feel welcome. So make a plan now with family and friends to try Deer Run Golf Club this season. A logical design that makes golf fun for every level of play. Make a reservation now at deerrungolf.com. It is more fun at the run.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley, along with our producer, Susanna Boley, and our technical producer, Paul Sadek,
who just can't get rid of me.
Right here. Tell us what's going on, Paul.
I'm always hovering. Be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
In honor of the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults are inviting all young adults to a speaker series on the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Fatima, Portugal. Come to the Cathedral of St. Paul's Hayden Hall to hear the last talk in the series on May 31st and learn more about Our Blessed Mother's message on how to become closer to God. The talks will begin at 7 p.m. and we'll be praying the rosary at 6:30. Light refreshments will be provided. For more information, visit the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults Facebook page.
Married couples, celebrate the gift of your vocation at the Archdiocesan Marriage Day Celebration Mass with Archbishop Bernard Hebda, 10 a.m. Saturday, June 3rd. Those celebrating silver and golden anniversaries in the 2017 calendar year will be honored in a special way. Family and friends are welcome. All couples may request a special certificate. Submit requests by May 30th by emailing Sonia at flomos.com. at archspm.org. That's FLOMOS at archspm.org. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org.
You are invited to the annual Pentecost Mass, sponsored by the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office, on Saturday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. at St. Charles Borromeo in St. Anthony. Praise and worship will begin at 6:30, and Archbishop Bernard Hebda will be the celebrant and homilist. Fellowship will follow the Mass. Please visit the CCR website at www.ccro-msp.org or call 763-571-5314 for more details.
Mary's Meals invites you to join in a fundraiser at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo, Saturday, June 3rd, 9 to 11 a.m. Mary's Meals is an international organization that provides one meal per day in a child's place of education for over 1.2 million children in over 14 countries around the world. Come join for a fun educational morning. Learn how you can become involved in feeding children around the world using your little acts of love. Free admission, no RSVP required, none required. For more information about Mary's Meals, visit marysmealsusa.org or call Deborah or Wayne Waldera, 651-772-6935.
Grandparents are invited to the Learning Technology to Connect with Grandchildren workshop hosted by the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. It'll be held on Wednesday, June 14th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Archdiocesan Chancery in St. Paul. Join us to learn how you can keep in touch with your grandchildren by texting, FaceTime, Skype, and more. Check the events page on CatholicGrandparenting.org.
And what's up next week?
Next week, Paul, we are going to talk all about the upcoming Feast of Pentecost, the birthday of the Church. It takes place 50 days after Easter, and it's a day that the apostles received the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll be joined by Jessica Balzerini, as well as Sister Mary Ann Schainzer, the pastoral director of St. Stephen's Catholic. And until then, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.